quote. The only freedom which deserves the name is that of pursuing our own good in our own way. Unquote, said Mill. And meant by this, liberty of thought, feeling, conscience, opinion, expression, tastes, and pursuits. And liberty of combination. Was compulsion ever justified? Question mark. No doubt it was. Colon. In extreme cases, where a society was genuinely endangered, and the institutions which themselves preserved freedom were in peril, individual liberty could, perhaps, be, at any rate temporarily, curtailed or suspended, full stop. Moreover, since all individuals were entitled to this minimum degree of freedom, all other individuals were of necessity to be restrained, comma, if need be by force, comma, from depriving anyone of it. Indeed, the whole function of law was the prevention of collisions. Colon. The law was what the socialist LaSalle was contemptuously to describe as being that of a night watchman or traffic policeman, guarding over property and preventing collisions with no positive functions at all. What made this area of liberty so sacred to Mill, question mark, in a famous tract, perhaps the most famous of all essays on the subject, which had so profound an influence upon the thinking of generations of Englishmen, and those they influenced, comma, and those they governed, comma, declares that unless men are left to live as they wish, quote, in the path which merely concerns themselves, unquote, civilization cannot advance, semicolon. The truth will not, for lack of a free market in ideas, comma, come to light. Spontaneity, energy, character, individuality in all its forms will decline. There will be no scope for genius, for mental vigor, for moral courage. Full stop. Society will be crushed by the weight of collective mediocrity. In quotes. Full stop. Whatever is, quote, rich, diversified, animating, unquote, will be crushed by the weight of custom, by men's constant tendency to conformity, which breeds only, quote, withered capacities, pinched and hidebound, cramped and dwarfed human beings. Quote, pagan self-assertion is as worthy as Christian self-denial, unquote. Quote, all the errors which a man is likely to commit against advice and warning are far outweighed by the evil of allowing others to constrain him to what they deem is good, unquote. Liberty consists in the preservation of an area within which human personality is to have the fullest possible play. Unless a man can pursue ends because they are his ends, comma, make acts of choice, which even if they lead to disaster, are nevertheless felt by him as his acts, comma, the pursuit of goals which are, comma, at any rate for him absolute, in that they are not means to other ends, but that alone which makes all other acts worth doing, which gives his life such value as it has in his own eyes, in short, enough political faith, to allow him not to suffocate, nor to survive on condition of being an instrument of other people's wishes. That is the liberty, as it has been conceived by liberals in the modern world, from the days of Erasmus to our own. Constant and Mill are its noblest and most convincing advocates. Every plea for civil liberty, for individual rights, for the preservation of individual variety and spontaneity against the encroachment of public authority or the leveling tendency of custom or organized propaganda stems from this central conception. New paragraph. Two aspects of it may be noted. The first is that it is comparatively modern, full stop. There is scarcely any consciousness of individual liberty as an ideal in the ancient world, full stop. Condorcet, C-O-N-D-O-R-C-E-T, had already remarked that the notion of individual rights is absent from the legal and moral conceptions of the Romans and Greeks, still more so of the Hebrews, and of all other ancient civilizations that have since come to light, nor of the periods in which these notions have been dominant, at all frequent, even in the history of the Western world. It has seldom formed, seldom if ever, formed a rallying cry for the great masses of mankind as equality or democracy have been, full stop. It has remained the ideal of civilized men who wish to be left in peace to pursue their duties or their pleasures or their avocations. The desire not to be impinged upon, not to be dictated to be free from the arbitrary deprivation of rights and liberties, has been a mark of high civilization, both on the part of individuals and communities. The desire to be left alone, to live one's life as one chooses, the very sense of privacy, of the sacred area, of the area of personal relationships, as sacred in its own right. The belief that it is more worthy of a human being to go to the bad in his own way than to the good, under the control of a benevolent authority, comma, is this, which is almost a defining notion of a large element in Western civilization, comma, is scarcely older than the Renaissance and the Reformation. Absolute values are not necessarily timeless or eternal, but with their death, one civilization dies. Their death marks the death of an entire civilization. the end of an entire moral system. Full stop. New paragraph. Another characteristic of this, quote, negative, unquote, conception of liberty is that it is compatible with autocracy. Full stop. Comma, or at any rate the absence of self-government. Full stop. Liberty in this sense is concerned with the area of control, not with its source. Full stop. Just as a democratic community may in fact deprive the individual citizens of a good many liberties which he might have in some other society, comma, so it is perfectly conceivable that a benevolent despot would allow his subjects a very wide area of personal freedom, full stop. Even though in a despotic society the individual would only enjoy such rights and liberties as the despot granted him, it is, comma, at any rate in theory, conceivable that a very liberal-minded despot would grant his subjects wider liberties than they would enjoy under other systems of government, full stop. Indeed, it is arguable that in the Prussia of Frederick the Great or the Austria of Joseph II, men of spontaneity, imagination, originality, and creative power, whom Mill desired to encourage, were less interfered with and felt the pressure of both institutions and custom far less heavily upon them, heavy upon them, than they would have done in the Switzerland of that time, or many a later democracy, full stop. Freedom in this sense is not, at any rate logically, connected with self-government. Self-government may indeed be a guarantee of its preservation, comma, and has been defended as such by believers in individual liberty, full stop. But there is no necessary connection. The question of who governs me is logically distinct from the question how far government interferes with me. And upon this, the great division of concept, the great contrast between the two concepts fundamentally rests. For the quote positive unquote sense of liberty is an answer to the question, quote, by whom am I governed, question mark, end of quote. Who is to say what I am and what I am not to be or do, question mark. And although it seems at first as if there was an intimate connection between individual liberty in the sense of an area free from interference, comma, and democracy in the sense of government not by some outside body, but by myself and others like myself, with whose interests mine were intertwined, comma, government, direct government by us, of ourselves, or at any rate by our representatives, yet the difference is more apparent than real, full stop. The desire to be governed by myself, or at any rate to participate in the process whereby my life is to be controlled, is no doubt as basic a wish as that of a free area for action, comma, perhaps more so, full stop. But it is not the same, semicolon, so different indeed as to have led to the end of the great clash of ideologies of which I spoke at the beginning. For it is nothing other than the positive conception of liberty which those who believe in the negative concept represent as being at times no better than a disguise for total slavery.
A subject? I wish to be a subject? Not an object, semicolon. To be moved by reasons, by conscious purposes which are my own, and not by causes which affect me, as it were, from outside. I wish to be somebody, not nobody. Self-directed and not directed by external nature or other men, as if I were an inanimate object, an animal, a slave incapable of playing a part, a human part, i.e. of conceiving purposes and realizing them. This is what I mean when I say that I am rational and that it is my reason that distinguishes me from the rest, distinguishes me as a human being from the rest of the world. I wish, above all, to be conscious of myself as a thinking, willing, active being, whose choices are his own, bearing responsibility for his acts, and able to explain them by reference to his own ideas and purposes. Full stop. I feel free in proportion as I know this to be true, and enslaved in proportion as facts make me realize that it is not true. This desire to be self-directed has, historically, taken two major forms. The first, that of self-denial to attain independence. The second, that of conquest of obstacles in my path to attain the same end. And underneath we do put one. I am the possessor of reason and will. Full stop. I conceive ends and I desire to pursue them. Full stop. But if I am prevented from attaining them, I no longer feel master of the situation. I may be prevented by the laws of nature, physical, or physiological, or psychological, or by chance or accident, or the malice of men, or the power, sometimes undesigned, of human institutions. These forces may be too much for me. What am I to do to escape from being crushed by them? I re-educate myself. No, don't say that. Say, I liberate myself from unfulfillable desires. I wish to be master of my kingdom, but my frontiers are too vulnerable. Therefore, I contract the frontiers in order to reduce the area of vulnerability. Full stop. I desire happiness. Full stop. But I cannot command it. Semicolon. I wish to strive after nothing that I cannot be sure to obtain. Therefore, instead of vainly striving for happiness, which may elude me, I eliminate from myself all desire for it. Full stop. I withdraw into my inner self. The tyrant, physical and biological laws make it impossible for me to attain goals, health, more success. Which I should have had if I had been differently built. I determine myself not to desire these unattainable ends, full stop. The tyrant threatens me with destruction of my property, with physical imprisonment, with the exile or death of those whom I love. But if I do not feel attached to property, comma, do not care if I am in prison or outside it, and if killed within myself, my natural affections, he cannot touch me, full stop. It is as if I were to perform a strategic retreat within an inner citadel, into an inner citadel, my reason, my soul, which, do what he might, neither external blind force nor human beings can touch. There and there alone I am safe. There and there alone I am master of all that I possess. It is as if I were to say, I have a wound in my leg. If the process of curing it is too precarious and uncertain, then I can get rid of the wound by cutting off my leg and by teaching myself not to want anything which my leg, for which my leg might have provided an opportunity. This is a traditional self-emancipation of quietists. Not only individual sages, there's Stoics, Buddhists, Jews, Christians, and indeed individuals dedicated to no religion, there's men who liberate themselves from the yoke of society, of public opinion, by a process of self-transformation which makes them care for nothing for its values and remain isolated and independent on its edges, no longer vulnerable to its weapons. Every form of isolationism, monasticism, autarky, capital A-U-T-A-R-K-Y, every form of autonomy, in short, has some element of this in it. I eliminate the obstacles on my path by abandoning the path. I retreat into the only territory of which I can be fully certain, my own inner spirit, comma, or in the case of groups, my own sect, my own planned economy, my own isolated territory, where no voices from outside need be listened to, and no external forces can effectively reach, full stop. This is a search, a form of the search for security, but it is also legitimately called inner liberty. No, inner freedom. Kant, capital K-N-T, who is perhaps the most profound secular defender of this point of view, built his concept of freedom upon it. Full stop. I am free because I am autonomous. Colon. I obey laws which I have invented for myself. Freedom is obedience, quote, obedience to law which we prescribe to ourselves, unquote. Heteronomy, H-E-T-E-R-O-N-O-M-Y, is dependence on outside factors, being a plaything of circumstances, which include such psychological causes as desires, affections, everything in short which I cannot fully control. outside world beyond the frontier. Run my personality. Yes. Which must ex-hypothesize be lifted above the empirical world of causality. This is not the place in which to discuss the validity of this point of view. But the notion of freedom as autonomy in this sense has been central in political thought also. In politics also. Men must be treated in the first place as authors of values, of ends in themselves, whose ultimate authority consists precisely in the fact that they are willed by men not themselves dependent upon outside factors. Then, the greatest crime of all is to treat them as if they were not this, but, in some sense, dependent upon nature or other men, as if they were incapable of choices and must be chosen for, not allowed to choose for themselves, For that is to treat them as if they were not men. Quote, nobody can compel me to be happy in his own way, unquote, said Kant. And, quote, paternalism is the greatest despotism imaginable, unquote, No, why, Because it is to treat men as if they were stuff for me, the reformer, however benevolently disposed, to mold in accordance with my, not their rational purpose. This is what utilitarians recommended. Helvetius, and Bentham, end of Beckett, did not object to dangling rewards and punishments before men. Yes, the acutest form of heteronomy, yes, if by this means they might be made happier. But to manipulate men in this sense, to propel them towards goals which you see that they may not, is to deny their human essence, to degrade them. Full stop. That is why to lie to men or to deceive them is, in effect, to treat them as slaves, to behave as if other men's ends are less absolute and sacred than my own. This is false and leads to the humiliation of other men, which is the ultimate sin, full stop. There is only one source of ends for the sake of which everything is worth doing, and that is the individual who creates values, who creates these ends, full stop. In the name of what could I force them to do that which they do not will? In the name of something higher than themselves, full stop. But there is nothing higher than themselves if all values are the creations of the human spirit. Therefore I am compelling men in the name of something lower than themselves, expediency, reasons of state, convenience, my own selfish desires. This is a contradiction of what I know myself to be. All exploitation, all degradation and humiliation. Would you learn the words all? Just degradation, exploitation, humiliation. Because they deny what makes men men, inner autonomy, is the worst crime committable by a human being, full stop. For if this is done, then no ends, no absolute ends will be left, for the sake of which that which is done is to be done. And that would mean that rational self-mastery disappears, and men are reduced to mere things. The ultimate crime is therefore No, to behave as if. Those ultimate ends, for the sake of which, alone, life is worth living or sacrificing, do not exist. Full stop. All forms of tampering with human beings, getting at them, shaping them against their will in your own form, brainwashing and conditioning, is therefore the deprivation of men of that freedom in virtue of which alone they are men. This is the heart of the humanism, both moral and political. Humanism, both moral and political, deeply influenced by Kant in the 18th century. It is a form of secularized Protestant individualism in which the place of God and the individual soul, which strains towards union with him, is taken by the abstract conception of the rational life, and the reason of the individual who strains after total rationality, to be governed by reason and by reason alone, not to depend upon anything that he does not understand, or whereby he is affected or deluded. Full stop. Autonomy, not heteronomy, colon. To act and not to be acted upon. Full stop. Deeply different though their metaphysical doctrines were, the Stoic sage, comma, the self-directed rational man of Spinoza, S-P-I-N-O-Z-A, comma, the rational will that can desire only what is right. No, not can desire, that can will only what is right, and can attain what it wills, comma. For what it cannot attain, it cannot will, semicolon. These are different approaches to a very similar ideal. The man who has made himself independent of chance and causality, and the malice and stupidity of men by withdrawing, comma, rising above it, comma, making himself unassailable, comma, impermeable, as it were, to anything that might deflect him. The notion of slavery to the passions is now no longer a metaphor. To rid myself of fear, or love, or the desire to conform, is to liberate myself from the slavery to something which I cannot control. Cephalus, capital C-E-P-H-A-L-U-S, whom Plato reports as saying that old age alone has liberated him from passion, death, the yoke of a terrible master, Dash, is speaking as literally as those who speak of freedom from the flesh and blood tyrant or slave owner. The psychological experience of observing myself yielding to some quote lower unquote impulse and doing something which at the very moment of doing it I abhor, and reflecting later that it was not, that I was not, quote, myself, unquote, when I did it. Dash. The distinction of the true self, dash, inner, rational, pure, master of its resources, comma, as opposed to the less real attributes, physical or emotional, which are the prey of external forces, come up along to this way of thinking and speaking. I am identified with my critical, rational faculty, colon. The external results cannot matter, for they are not in my control. Only motives are. Provided my motive is rational, I can ignore or even defy the outer world and take refuge in my own integrity and independence. This is the creed of the solitary thinker, the successful rebel who has emancipated himself from the chains of the world. Of things. New paragraph. How am I to achieve this condition? By the use of critical reason. By understanding what is necessary and what is contingent. Full stop. If I am a schoolboy, the difficult truths of mathematics present themselves as an obstacle, as theorems whose necessity I do not understand, but which are asserted to be true by some external authority, and which I must therefore mechanically learn. But when I understand the function of the symbols, the axioms, the transformation rules, the logic whereby the conclusions are obtained, dash, and that these things cannot be otherwise, either because they are given as part of the structure of the rational mind, or because I have invented them for myself as a game or convention which I play in accordance with rules which I myself have imposed, comma, then it no longer presents itself to me as an external obstacle, which I must accept whether I will it or not, comma, but as something which I freely move in. To the mathematician, the rules of mathematics are part of the free exercise of his natural logical capacity. Semicolon. To the musician, the score, because he has assimilated the pattern of the composer's score and has made his ends his own. Sorry, the composer's ends his own. The playing of the music is a free exercise. He does not feel bound to the score as an ox to his plow or the factory worker to his machine. He has absorbed the score into his own system, has appropriated it. And to appropriate something, to identify it with oneself, is to transform it from an obstacle into one's own texture, from an impediment to free activity into an element in that activity itself. What applies to music or to mathematics must, in principle, apply to all other problems which present themselves as lumps of external stuff blocking free self-development. That is the program of rationalism. Sapere, S-A-P-E-R-E, Aude, A-U-D-E, said Kant. Quote, dare to know, unquote. What you know, dash, that of which you understand the necessity, dash, the rational necessity, that is, dash, you cannot, comma, while remaining rational, comma, want to be otherwise. For wanting it to be otherwise is to be pro-tanto, P-R-O-T-A-N-T-O, irrational, full stop. Ignorance, aversion, fear, neuroses come from ignorance. Myths and illusions, whether they spring from the willful activity of wicked men who invent them in order to keep us in chains, dash as religion was declared to be the opium of the masses, dash or from the influence of psychological causes, or the unintended results of social institutions, are all forms of heteronomy, or being acted upon by the outside factors in a direction not willed by the agent. The 18th century enlightened radicals thought that the study of mathematics, physics, and other natural sciences, and of society, on the model of the natural sciences, would make the operation of such causes transparent, and thus enable individuals to choose whether to be acted upon by them. Break it. But if they so choose, they are no longer acted upon, but have made them their own instruments by willing them to be their own and to break it, or alter, or destroy them, full stop. Later thinkers in the same tradition, comma, no matter how radically they disagreed about what true knowledge consisted in, fundamentally accepted this program, full stop, dash, the program of self-knowledge. Herder, capital H-E-R-D-E-R, and Hegel believed that earlier thinkers had not understood the part played by change in that which, not that which, in what made human beings human, full stop. To understand, it is not enough to understand mathematics or physics. One must also understand history, that is, the laws of continuous growth of individuals and groups in their interplay with each other and with nature. Not to understand this is to fall into a particular kind of delusion, namely a belief in a static nature and the possibility of creating a utopia on the assumption that men's needs are unaltering and that the wise, comma, wholly rational man in all ages and countries will always will the same unaltering ends. Hegel believed that his contemporaries, Beckett, and indeed all his predecessors, and Beckett, misunderstood the nature of institutions because they did not understand the laws, dash, rational laws, since they spring from the operation of the human spirit, dash, that create institutions and change human character and human action. Full stop. Marx maintained that human beings were enslaved by external factors which they could not control in the form of institutions which they had not always consciously created for certain purposes, but whose functioning explained the working of certain social and economic laws which they could not escape. They misunderstood, systematically, and believed to be independent forces which must needs be obeyed as slaves obey a master. Bracket e.g. the laws of supply and demand, or property as an unaltering human category, or the division of society into rich and poor, or owners and workers, end of bracket, simply because they did not understand that these laws and institutions were themselves the work of human minds and hands, whose origins had been forgotten, whose functioning was misunderstood, which were therefore falsely regarded as inexorable, external powers which it was idle to try and alter.